All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our NBA podcast for Tuesday, October 31st. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
You were spooky, James Davis, on the NFL podcast.
I forgot.
Not spooky anymore?
You threw me off because we forgot to do a sponsor on the NFL podcast. That's all I was thinking about, and I was just making notes so I wouldn't forget. But
well, the great thing about today's NFL podcast was a lot of not NFL talk going on there. Just a lot of
spent. There wasn't a lot to talk about in the NFL. So,
all right, so you can go over and check out that non-NFL related podcast week 8 recap. But we are from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short, here to get you started. Keep winning on FanDuel and or DraftKings. Head over to the site right now, DFSR.com/NBA. We'll get you started. NBA system has been pretty great to start the season. Last night continued that run, cashed in cash games kind of all around, even though with some sort of variable performances. I don't really probably need to look too much back on what happened last night. But, you know, with the new, I would say with the new FanDuel system of pricing and DraftKings kind of just being the same as it ever was, NBA just pays to use a system where the time and energy is put into it and pays off the benefits. Because I know how much time we put into to kind of auditing these things and making sure it is just kind of like dead on nuts accurate when it comes to, you know, projected usage and minutes. Anyway, you can get access to that, dfsr.com/NBA. Will get you going. All right, weird because there's only four games tonight. And four games tonight, and I would say 1, 2, 3, 4 of the teams are completely impossible on the heels of me bragging about us projecting minutes and stuff. Four of these teams are completely impossible to project.
That's
minutes
correct.
For. Yep. The Kings, the Suns, the Nets, and the Lakers. So we'll kind of go through game by game, trying to figure out where some of these teams land, or if there are plays, if any, on any of these teams, and sort of kind of go from there. Kings go into the Pacers. The injury notes here, Zach Randolph is questionable with a left foot injury. I guess that would matter. You know, let's start here. If Randolph sat out last game, he's old. I don't know what their plan is. Kings really don't want to win. They did start Kyle Lavassiere, and they started Bogdan. Don't call me Bojan Bogdanovic.
I made that exact joke when I wrote the picks on Saturday, buddy.
Did you? Well, there's only one way to go with that joke, really. So
I went the other way. I said Bojan, don't call me Bogdan Bogdanovic. So.
Oh, there you go. Either way, it's also impossible too, because if you even search them, it just name corrects me sometimes in those, so I end up with the wrong guy. Also, if I'm just Google searching news, where do we stand with the Kings here at this point? I mean, they start Darren Fox last game, and then they kind of just bench him because he's looking terrible, and they play Frank Mason III. Now George Hill is going to come back. They start Lavassiere. He gets in foul trouble. He was kind of okayish on the price. I mean, I just don't know what to do with this team.
Yeah, I don't totally either, to be honest. Like, it's just so all over the place. The team is bad. The players on the team are bad. So I don't know what else there really is to say. Like, they're all – it's one of those crazy things, because this will happen occasionally when a team, like the Spurs, say, rested all their starters, and you're like, well, if the most expensive guy on the team is $5,000, somebody has to be a good play, right? Like, that's typically the rule. But for a team that doesn't play anyone more than 30 minutes a game, it might just not be a rule here. So – I don't know where the value is exactly, but I don't see any as I look across all the names here. Like, and I want to, right? Like, I look at Buddy Hield and I'm like, 4,000, that can't be right. Nope, turns out it's totally right. It's just totally fine price for him. Like, this guy's scoring 11 points a game, 13, 14 points. Sometimes he plays 16 minutes. Like, it's just a total joke. I don't know what to do with this squad.
Yeah, I was actually wrong. Lavassiere wasn't in foul trouble. I just assumed he was because I was like, well, why else did he only play 22 minutes?
Yeah,
I was
just kind of fun. It's just a total joke. Forget about Sacramento. Don't play anyone on that team.
Well, the thing is...
Yeah, go ahead. You go first. I don't want
to. Okay, so the thing is, on a night of expensive plays, there are sometimes 22, you know, well, not 22, sometimes 25 minutes out of one of these guys is an okay play, right? Like 25 minutes out of a power forward position for 4,900 out of Scout is... not the worst thing if you're going to try to roster up. Because, again, we've already established that half the teams that are playing today have this particular minutes problem, right? And so if we're taking 50% of the player pool and just saying these guys, that just doesn't leave us a lot. And we're going to think that the rest of the teams are maybe priced accurately because their opportunity has basically been unchanged since the start of the season. There's a good chance that we are... not have to, but going to be staring at a situation where we are looking at some of these guys because they're so cheap, right? Like Hield.
Only if you're one of the ones who guesses right. You know, if you're the one who guesses right, then you're in great shape. And if you don't, then you're in bad shape. Now, it might be worth the gamble, I guess. You're right. On such a small slate, maybe you just wind up rolling the dice. And Hield, I think, is one of the more attractive ones, given that the minutes at least seem to be part of the plan. If you're signing up for a pretty scoring dependent, hopefully 5x points per dollar. Or so, yeah, it's all very, very unexciting to me, I guess, is what I'm going to skate up to here. And that leaves me really hoping that we can look elsewhere, understanding that your point is a good one, that, you know, maybe we just won't wind up being able to.
I would caution people on the Bogdanović performance last game. He looked really good from a fantasy perspective. He also shot 7 from 9 for the field and had 4 steals. So I always like try to make sure people understand sort of lumpy performances like that. That is not for 23 minutes. That was the best you could ever hope for his overall fantasy line. So just a little word of caution, because I can see people maybe wanting to play him basically looking at just like what he did when he was a starter. But his minutes are just as variable as the rest of these guys. And like I said, it looks like George Hill is going to come back and play because he just rested, because it's important that you get rest this early in the season when you're trying to lose every game. So when the clear organizational philosophy is lose, you just sit your starting point guard because he needs rest after 4 games of the season. Other side of the ball, Indianapolis, I'm talking about the football podcast. Indiana is they're a team that actually they have some interesting guys that they've given pretty set opportunity to. You know, where do you see guys like specifically their backcourt and I suppose Sabonis? Like, do you see these guys as firm value plays, or have the prices come up too much?
No, I think they're pretty good. I want to weigh in on both Bogdanović is and say I actually kind of like both of them in this game, believe it or not. Bogdan at 25 minutes has been, you know, flirting with this price. I'm just saying, if we're thinking about Kings, I wouldn't rule him out among those Kings. And actually, Bojan, I think, is legitimately interesting, averaging more than 30 minutes a game in the last 3 games. One, just completely god-awful performance, which will happen with guys like him, but two very good performances on this $4,000 price tag, and not-so-great matchups, you know, against Andrew Wiggins and then against San Antonio. So I actually do really like him at 4,100 here, and wouldn't mind seeing him come in, you know.
And I think that, you know, what about guys like Oladipo and Collison? Do you think that their price has come up to the point where, I mean, Collison 6,500, I guess you can get behind that. Oladipo, now he's ranging up toward 8,000. He's the most expensive shooting guard on the slate. Do you think
both playable, but just sort of unexciting? You know, Collison has averaging 33 fantasy points a game. That's grounded in 2 really excellent performances against Minnesota and Brooklyn, and then 4 performances where he had less than 3 times points per dollar on this price. So, yeah, just like I said, playable, certainly on a small slate. I think the floor is pretty reasonable. Like, if you can lock up a 25-point floor on a $6,500 price tag, you're not devastated, and that's what he's had so far. So, yeah, playable, but not through the roof. I think Oladipo, I'm curious actually to know your thoughts on him, because we've seen some really excellent performances and then just some disappearing acts. Do you think Oladipo is an $8,000 player going forward this season?
His aggressive style, I think, has gotten him into foul trouble probably more times than they've wanted to. He's had 4 or more fouls in 3 of the last 5 games. And I think that is at times, depending on, I haven't gone back and looked where exactly he was coming out in the game. My guess is that he was coming out early in games where he just got into foul trouble early, because, like, you know, the games where he wasn't in foul trouble, I don't know, 29 minutes against San Antonio, I'm not sure. He's shooting a lot. The encouraging thing is when he's on the court, his per minute shot attempts are really high. Like, you know, we've seen an 18 shot performance, 16 shots, and he's been shooting it pretty well. I'd be a little worried the 3-point shooting percentage is not going to sustain. He's shooting 47% right now. He's a 35% career shooter. So you can expect probably significant regression in the 3-point shooting just as the season goes on. I think he's probably going to end up being like more like a $7,500 player. Okay, let me say 2 things. One, I think the shooting will regress, and I think the minutes will stabilize. So maybe that is enough to come out like that. This is just what his price is. Does that make sense? Like, I think the 28-minute games are going to be fewer and far between than, or enough that, like, he's going to play enough minutes where I think when he finally dips in 3-point shooting, he'll still just kind of maybe settle in around this price.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. And yeah, I mean, again, that makes him a guy that can be in your lineups, but for me, probably not tonight. I think Sabonis actually is another guy in this game that's somewhat exciting. We've seen that when he does get the starter's minutes, he can support a $6,000 price tag. It's a good matchup with Willie Cauley-Stein, who's kind of a flashy defender, but without a lot of the substance in terms of just straight-up post defense that you kind of need to shut down a fundamentally sound player like Sabonis. So I think Sabonis playable. Right now, game-time decision based on the illness, but I suspect he'll probably play, and I think he'll be a solid inclusion in any cash game lineup.
I gotta say, the returns on the Paul George trade aren't as bad as I thought they were gonna be. I mean, Sabonis and Oladipo are at least playing minutes, like quality NBA minutes, right? Like the fact that they got those two guys back. It looked like a complete disaster. They're not very good, and they're not going to be like on a championship team or whatever. So, but I don't think that was what Indiana was shooting for. The fact that they just can go out there and, I don't know, keep Indiana in games was probably as much as they could ever hope for. I think Sabonis is questionable with a upper respiratory sort of issue, but they're the first game on the slate, so I think we're gonna have news on Randolph and Sabonis well ahead of time and kind of be able to make our decisions from there. Miles Turner is still out with a concussion, and actually he's not going to be. It doesn't look like he's going to be back anytime soon, because I don't think he's even cleared the concussion protocol yet. All right, moving on. The 7:30 game. Oh, boy. Phoenix, speaking of teams where you just can't figure out anything that's going on, and then Brooklyn. So this game, this is insane. This game has a 231 over-under, which is, that's like when
the highest on the slate.
That's like when the Warriors play the Rockets. Like, this is like the kind of numbers you get when those two teams play. These great, you know, all-time three-point shooting teams play each other. These teams are not those teams, but these teams also.
They have the first and second highest implied totals among themselves, among everyone on the slate.
I don't know who you can play. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, you play Devin Booker. You're going to definitely play Devin Booker. He was a chalk play against Portland. He was excellent. He will be unanimously owned tonight. If you don't play Devin Booker, you're going to be greatly against the chalk and probably wrong in doing so. So that's certainly where you start. I think you also play TJ Warren. Warren, you know, has seen some ownership across DFS this season. Been solid the last two games. I get that the minutes aren't probably quite as high as you want them to, but like if you compare him to the Kings guys, in my mind, getting him for 27 minutes, knowing that he's paid 7x and 5x in his last two games, one of which was against Utah, the 7x performance, I think he lights Brooklyn up here. So I guess my broader point is that I think the Suns are a lot more intriguing to me than the Nets are in this game, because I do think there are at least guys who have performed recently on from a points per dollar perspective. After that, there's going to be a lot of guys on the Suns that you can consider. Alex Len comes to mind, who actually does pay this price, but also plays sometimes 17 minutes a game. So I know some people are going to be tempted to go there in a short slate. And Mike James, too. You know, I think Mike James and actually Alex Len are kind of in that same category together, where it's like sometimes they're going to be really good on this price, sometimes they're going to be pretty bad, and then you just decide if that's the appropriate spot to take a risk tonight.
Yeah, man, I was actually resetting some of our multipliers that we have. We just have like multipliers in place that like help us kind of drift up toward implied totals if like our defensive stuff hasn't gotten there and our usage rates haven't gotten there, just to smooth out some of what we might not be seeing in just a more granular level that we have our system broken down into. And the two multipliers that I just applied to Brooklyn and Phoenix are about the highest I've seen having to get there on getting close to the Vegas multiplier, right? Like giving like 10% bumps across the board or 8% bumps across the board is just something that doesn't typically happen, because usually we're right in range. Like, right, we're usually within, I would say, 2-3% on well above average the number of times that that's where we see like our system just come in close to the Vegas total. When it's this far off, it just means that, you know, Vegas has basically said, and these teams have just agreed, there's not going to be any defense played. I'm not as bullish on some of these things, guys, as you, like the James and Lens of the world, just because I just get worried. Like, you know, James still splitting time with Ulis. I get that their per minute stuff is good, and there are going to be huge performances from this game. No doubt about it. Like, there's going to be guys that pay their price pretty easily. I just the bane of your existence or our existence is trying to predict minutes on a night to night basis for teams like this, and it just hasn't really gotten any easier. And I'm with you. The Booker will be complete chalk. Brooklyn side, they're another one. They don't play anyone more than 29 minutes. They, you know, D'Angelo Russell is really good when he plays. He just doesn't play. I think the other night I was looking at their team and they played every single guy on their team more than 5 minutes in a game. That was like close, or like more than 7 minutes.
They had 13. They had 13 guys with 10 minutes or more. The last game I looked at it. Yeah, that's the craziest
thing
I've ever heard.
And for those that don't follow basketball, no teams don't even come close to that. Like, most teams don't play 9 guys on a given night, and that's like mediocre.
Yeah, your ninth guy gets 2 minutes typically.
Right, to play every single one of the guys on your team is just such a crazy. And they kind of won some games. I mean, like I said, they beat Cleveland the other night. Brooklyn side of the ball here is everyone. I mean, they all kind of fairly priced, because they just do play the same amount of minutes every day, and it's just never that many.
Yeah. I mean, there are some guys you can take a stab at for big tournaments. You could even play Timothy Mozgov on 3,000, right, in a big tournament. But all of the Brooklyn guys fall into basically the same category, which is they don't really play enough minutes to warrant great consideration for cash games in my mind. Some of them are going to go off and be good plays for big tournaments. I have no clue which ones those are going to be. Some of the guys are more consistent. I think people are going to be sucked into D'Angelo Russell here. I think that might wind up being a mistake just because he was so good early in the season, but good in a lot of the ways that in my mind are unsustainable, like just shooting tons of shots, for instance. That's not like, that doesn't always work. You don't always just get to keep playing 29 minutes and having that level of usage rate on a team where the team's explicit plan seems to be to spread the ball around. So I'm not a huge believer in Russell, but I could see him being fairly highly owned tonight in a fast pace and really an excellent matchup with Phoenix.
Yeah, he tweaked his ankle and then hasn't really played a ton of minutes since. He came back for two of the games, but then only played 17 minutes and 24 minutes. They're going to be real careful with him. Again, they're not a team that's completely incentivized to lose, but man, they just have the weirdest style. Just playing this many guys just makes no sense. All right, 8 o'clock game. OKC goes in to play the Bucks. This is has Giannis taken over the Russell Westbrook mantle of just unbelievable fantasy performances on a week-to-week basis, or excuse me, a game-to-game basis? What Giannis is doing this season, Giannis is now up to, on FanDuel, near-peak Russell Westbrook prices from last year. He's up to 12-6 on FanDuel. He's playing, obviously, small. He plays, well, he's labeled as small forward. He kind of plays, I don't know, three or four positions.
But, everywhere.
Yeah. Where do you see in this game? We have, obviously, Westbrook and Giannis as the two most expensive guys. Do you see this as a night where prioritizing trying to even get both of them into lineups, at least on FanDuel, it'd be near impossible to do that on DraftKings, but at least on FanDuel is the way to go, just because they represent more a higher floor and safety than really anybody. I mean, we've already gone through multiple games of just being like kind of question marking some of these performances.
Sure, but I think that's actually the problem, because I don't know that there are a lot of cheap plays that can justify the big payoff guys. So, you know, Giannis to me, kind of he might be the best example of this, where getting a 53-point floor is really meaningful, and it's the type of thing we'd be looking for if we had a lot of good punt plays to stick in there. I think tonight you can play Giannis for sure, and in fact we probably will wind up doing so, because a lot of these teams just don't even have starters that cost more than $6,000, so you just wind up with extra salary lying around at the end. But I definitely wouldn't force it, because the difference between going down from someone, say you have to go from Darren Collison down to, I don't know, Tyler Ulis or Mike James or just one of these other guys who's cheaper, just so you can pay up for Russell Westbrook, means that I think you're going to be giving up too much at other positions if you're forcing it again. You know, if we get news and there are great punt plays, and I like both of them quite a great deal. But I think Giannis, in my mind, just represents a level of safety that Russ just can't offer right now. And that's primarily because, you know, Westbrook has some actual real players on his team right now, and Giannis doesn't really on the offensive side of the ball, or at least enough to impact his fantasy production, which again is truly absurd. In terms of regular points this season, the fewest Giannis has scored is 28. He's averaging a 35, 11, and 6. Unbelievable.
He's basically the MVP so far to start the season.
Of course he is. Yeah, I mean, a 53-point floor, like, just again, and I know that there are different prices, but the 53-point floor put forth by Giannis, 53.7 points he scored would be Westbrook's second-best game on the season. Okay, so the again, 1,500 more, I totally get it, but yeah, he's just on a different level for me right now.
Yep, and I think it's the price that's going to make people have the question about it, right? $1,500 less on FanDuel is going to be the part where people, like, if they were priced the same, I think that the decision would be pretty easy. I think that the fact that you're getting that $1,500 savings on sort of a weird night, and actually what I do believe, we record this at 10:30 in the morning, so there's so much that can change between now and the times lineup lock. There's, you know, so much that changes between 6 p.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Eastern when lineups lock, so it's hard to make definitive statements about this. My gut is telling me that people are going to, at least on FanDuel, going to prioritize getting both of them into their lineups. Now, again, I agree with you. That could be a mistake. I think that kind of strategy can have cascading effects down your lineup, which would be really detrimental. And actually, really, really, you need to be willing to accept a lot more risk. Now, tonight is one of those weird nights where you kind of could accept more risk, because even trying to audit some of the team's opportunity seems risky. So, like, maybe this is the night to accept more risk in terms of different parts of your lineup, just because there's a good chance you're going to see, I don't know, come out of nowhere performances from guys who are relatively underowned, because we just don't really know what the team's plans are. So, and it's really interesting at that point when you have, like I said, when you have half the teams where their minutes are complete question marks, you introduce, I think, a ton of variance into, like, what can happen. I think that it's almost a certainty that one of Westbrook or Giannis or both is in the top GPP lineup, just because of the way the rest of the player pool shakes out. It's like very difficult to imagine.
Yeah,
it's difficult to imagine just not one of them getting there, or just not one of them having a high enough floor considering all these other mid-range cheapish guys that are there. So I think fading both would be complete lunacy. But I don't know. Any other guys on OKC? The rest of their starters have been, you know, okay at times with PG and Melo. And Adams has shown flashes here, and their minutes are pretty stabilized. What do you think of the rest of the guys on OKC?
Yeah, not super impressed. You know, I know George has looked better in the last couple games. That Indiana game kind of scared me a little bit. But overall, you know, if you just, and you don't never want to do this because this is obviously in play, but if you X out that game, the performance has actually been fairly stable. I think he's now kind of settled into the category of, if he's in my cash games, I'll play him, but I'm not going to prioritize him whatsoever. I think Melo, in my mind, just slightly safer just because he doesn't have that one big X on his resume. The same way George does. He does have a pretty solid track record of 5x points per dollar, but both in the kind of solid but unexciting category.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. They're priced pretty correctly at this point. Their opportunity has been pretty much the same. I'm willing to just kind of look past the George performance in the one game.
That's probably fair. Adam's same thing. He's also just good, but with one bad performance. And yeah, maybe it's just overvaluing one game given how early in the season it is.
Greg Monroe is going to sit for Milwaukee. Not a huge deal, though. Kind of, you know, will open up some big man minutes. But they're funny because they don't really, they're just not your typical team where they just like, they don't, you know, they play Thon Makar. I think it's Makar. They play him sort of, they start him, but then play him no minutes. And then they weren't really even playing Monroe a ton off the bench because they're just have been able to go smaller with Giannis around. You just go smaller, but Henson did get 28 minutes last game.
He was insane.
Without Monroe there. It's still off the bench though. We've seen this with John Henson before, and we've seen this with bench guys before where these are the first kind of minutes to disappear, right? They're the first kind of minutes to disappear, especially in weird rotations. Like, you don't know how much of this was matchup. Like, were they willing to go smaller with Henson because Atlanta doesn't have any huge guys? They have Steven Adams here. Although that being said, like, I don't know what other options they have. How much do you trust the 28 minutes here on Henson? Does it make you feel better that it was without Monroe? Do you think this is the plan? They've never wanted to play Makar a lot of minutes just as they develop him. Where do you stand with, like, how far are we willing to push up Henson's minutes here?
Henson's a guy who we've been bitten by before, so I'm trying not to weigh that too heavily into my calculus here. I don't think we want to jam Henson. I think the five defensive stats and the 15 points that came from that are certainly above expectation, given that he had 28 minutes across the two prior games, had zero defensive stats. So he certainly can generate blocks and can do so in bunches when things are breaking right. But it's going to be a erratic performance on Henson almost regardless of whether he starts or not. We've actually also seen him start and then disappear. So I think we can play Henson. Generally speaking, I'm looking for starters. If he's starting, then I'll consider him a lot more. I'm not going to play him off the bench.
Well, so it's so funny too. Henson's a perfect example of the new world order on FanDuel. Henson in last year would be $3,000 right now. He's $4,800 on FanDuel. That's the other thing that makes it probably a little closer. If you knew Scal was starting, even though what happened last game, and they're the same price, would you rather play Labissiere or Henson at the same price? Let's say Scal starting, and Henson's coming off the bench.
I'd play Scal as a starter rather than Henson off the bench, I think.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. All right, anyone else on Milwaukee here? Middleton, Brogdon's played some minutes here. They brought in Dellavedova. Anything else interest you?
Yeah, not really. Just more guys that, you know, Brogdon in particular, if he showed up in cash games, I would play him, but not a reason to play cash games tonight necessarily. I think Middleton, I'm interested in the minutes there. The minutes, you know, going up to his second highest of the season with 7 against Atlanta. He had 9 assists, which, you know, is always an indicator the guy just has the ball on his hands more. I think you will see some ownership on him, but I just think the existence of guys like Devin Booker, same price point, same position, will probably drive him out of cash game lineups. So, moderate interest, but nothing special.
Detroit goes in to face the Lakers. Detroit actually offers us an opportunity here, I think, that the other teams don't, where they are a team that plays, that has their rotations pretty solid, with guys priced pretty fairly, but now they're getting a big upgrade in terms of, downgrade, however you want to phrase it. I guess it's how you view the Lakers, but Lakers think
a better matchup.
Yeah, a much better matchup. A very big pace up, defense down matchup against the Lakers. Where do you see guys like, I mean, their point guard play has still been variable. We've seen them not really want to make a full commitment to anybody here. But then I guess the guys I'd be considered here would be Bradley Harris and Drummond. Do you think those guys in the mid tier end up rounding out some of the value on this slate so that we don't, you know, when we're, especially when we're not trying to, if we're not trying to jam in Westbrook Westbrook and Giannis, do you think that the Pistons guys maybe round some of that out?
I really like Bradley here. I think 5,700. He's got 31 or more fantasy points in each of his last three games, including middling matchups or matchups maybe where you wouldn't have expected it to happen. He's pretty scoring dependent, but he also generates a ton of steals, which, as you know, we've mentioned many times so far on the pod, matters a lot more now that each steal is worth 3 fantasy points. So I do like Bradley here in an up and down game. I think there probably will just be a lot of turnovers to be handed around. And I think he's a very solid inclusion, probably just for cash games if you can help it. The upside doesn't seem to be there, again, because he just doesn't do a whole lot. Don't mind Jackson, but Tobias Harris, I'm just kind of off it. Like, the performance has been so up and down. The minutes have been up and down, even in games where they haven't been for other people. Do you want to play Harris tonight?
I don't, but I like the matchup, and I think I'm probably just going to end up prioritizing like his... I hate to call him safe because he's really not safe, but but I think in a position where power forward is already difficult to fill and he has scoring upside, and again, this is about as good a matchup as you can find. So I think those factors are going to end up kind of factoring in for me here. It's a little worrisome. I mean, he has foul trouble against the Clippers, so that probably explains the 20 minutes. The 31 against Golden State's a little harder to, but I mean, it's Golden State, so that just could have been matchups. He has played, before, up until that point, up into the last two games, the minutes were pretty much there on lock for him, and not much else has changed about this team. He was also just taking a million shots to start the season, and that's kind of dropped off the 18 shots last game. Yeah, I think I'm comfortable with Harris here. I think that you do see him being at least on FanDuel the chalk where because you're forced to roster the two power forwards, and at 6,400, it's probably right at that breaking point, and it's close. Yep. Drummond's the other interesting guy, 9,200. Man, he's been, when he plays, the rebounding is completely elite. We talked about this before, but the free throw shooting has greatly improved. He has games where he'll play a million minutes. This feels like the kind of game where he would play a lot. Like, how much, we're always trying to evaluate Drummond's ability to just stay on the court. Really, that's the only question for him. Is he able to stay on the court? It seems like this year it's been easier for him to stay on the court, but that might even be over. I mean, he has a 27, a 26, and a 22-minute game on his resume to start here. I mean, where do you trust
him? Yeah, and I could see Brook Lopez punishing him. The Lakers, I guess I'll just never understand what the point of doing stuff like this is. Like, to acquire Brook Lopez and pay him 17, 23, 22 minutes a game, it's got to be driving Lopez just completely insane. But it's like, this is kind of an affront to the integrity of the league, right? At some point, when you trade for a guy who's just is sort of a win now-ish player, why trade for him, I guess, is my question. Like, why not just kick him off your team if you really want to lose? Because this is just as obvious as anything else. But, man, it really does. Julius Randle the same way. Like, they're just crapping all over the development of their young players while hurting their chances to win now. The whole organization should be ashamed of itself as far as I'm concerned. So, I guess this should be a matchup, actually, where Drummond might have trouble staying on the court. A lot of transition, a really good offensive center that he could be up against here. But we won't know for sure because we just don't know how much Brook Lopez is going to play, or what style the Lakers will play, since they have basically these hockey line changes where the lines can play totally different styles depending on who happens to be on the court at any given moment. So I don't know for sure. I do know that the Lakers have the tools if it gets there. Julius Randle, Larry Nance, Brook Lopez, all these guys can deliver. Even Ivica Zubac, all these guys can deliver on the offensive end if they wind up playing. So Drummond to me seems like a very good play, and there's risk just like always. But yeah, Drummond is actually one of the guys on the Pistons here. Given the greater number of possessions, I just think it helps his rebounding and putback potential and steals and all the things that he does so well. I think it helps him enough to me that I would be happy to prioritize him for cash games.
Last game the Lakers saw, you mentioned the Lopez thing. I don't know much about how the NBA I know how the NBA works, and that they're clearly incentivized to tank, which is what the bottom quarter of the league just does without really even trying to hide it. I think that Lopez thing was actually like just to have some, make sure they had enough salary on their team to like not to meet the salary floor because all the rest of their guys are like on these rookie minimum contracts. Other guys on the Lakers, I mean, where do we trust the minutes on Lonzo Ball's really struggled to shoot after kind of having some good games. He's the fantasy production has dropped off for him to some degree as the shot isn't really completely going down. Ingram, though, played 34 minutes last game. We've seen minutes at times out of him. He's been shooting more this season. Larry Nance starting in 30 minutes. I mean, they're not as bad as the Nets, but they still don't strike me as a...
Sure they are, Doug. They have a couple guys in play, but otherwise, they're just the Nets West fully. I mean, Ingram's definitely a guy who's in consideration. You can't play anyone on this team who's taller than Brandon Ingram. They all play 20 minutes a game. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is kind of playing minutes, you know, in that 30-ish range. Been very hit or miss. You know, you never want a scoring dependent guy who can go out and score 2 points for you like he did against Toronto. Probably just too expensive. Again, like, just in the to point out how the world has changed and the landscape has changed, we were getting Kentavious Caldwell-Pope on Detroit for like $4,300 when he was playing a steady 37 minutes a game and producing fantasy production like this. And now he's more expensive and playing fewer minutes, just, you know, adjusting to the new thing. But I hate basically everyone on the Lakers except for Ingram here.
Yep, I pretty much agree with you. It's a very weird night with NBA. Like I said, half the teams don't want to play their guys and all are trying to lose. And when that happens, I'm with you. The integrity of the game is severely compromised when this happens. It's just not fun. Yeah. Like, it's just not a good way. The system's completely broken if you have teams that just sit their best players. Like, this is why Eric Bledsoe requested a trade. Like, he just wasn't even hurt and they just sat him for the whole end of the year. Like, you're out of here. We don't want you to play. Like, if I was a player, I'd be really frustrated too. And so I just don't know why they're willing to completely put up with this either, because it really screws some of these guys that should be playing, like, they should be playing well to like secure new contracts going forward, and just makes it completely impossible to even put your best foot forward for the player. So I don't know.
Or just practicing. How about that? Like, you know, as anyone who's ever done anything knows, you get better by doing things more. And the fact that they're getting 17 minutes of practice, you know, real game speed practice versus these other guys, you know, other rookies across the league, other young players that are actively developing and playing 33, 35 minutes a game, they're going to be worse in the long term. And it's just the wrong thing to do. They should not do that to those individuals if they have earned the spot on the team. It's like imagine being on your high school basketball team and having the best players play half the game. It just makes no sense. And it's got to be just driving people totally nuts. And it's certainly having that effect on me. So I hate every part of it. Shame on you, Lakers. Shame on you, Nets. Shame on everyone involved. Phoenix, you too. I just wish you guys were better people. That's how I'm going to drop my mic.
And the Kings were like, whew, he didn't mention us. Wow, we got off lucky on that one. All right, we're dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, DFSR.com for short, /NBA. We'll get you that free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab, optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, and you're all set. We'll be back again tomorrow talking a full day of NBA. Go out and check out our football podcast as well. Talk to everyone tomorrow. Enjoy tonight's basketball.